I'd really like to introduce to you this morning, Gary. Gary, can I welcome you up here? Can we give Gary a round of applause? Gary is probably looking a little bit nervous. A little bit nervous, because he's not necessarily used to standing in front of such a wonderful group of people. However, it can be a little bit daunting, can't it? I thought I'm going to interview Gary this morning. I'm going to get to hear something of his life. And usually when we do this, we start at the beginning and work towards the end, like reading a book. But I don't know about you. When I read a book, sometimes I go to the end and find out how it ends and then come back and read the rest of it. The teachers in the room are shaking their heads at me. I feel a lot of disapproval from Joe Osman in particular coming from it. But I would really like to hear a little bit about you now, Gary. What is your life like now? I'll give you the mic in a minute. And then we'll go back and talk about your childhood and the journey you went through. And I think that when we see what you are like now, makes the rest of it just amazing. So let's just hear a little bit about Gary now, what you get up to, what is your sort of family circumstance, et cetera, et cetera.
Hello, everybody. It is a big contrast, and it really shows the power of Christianity even after 2,000 years. These days, I have full-time work with another member of St. Pancras that we've got lots of work on. We're keeping busy. There's a good team of people that I used to surround myself with negative people who are always trying to take from you, or you would have temptations thrust under your nose at regular times. But with these people, because they're church members, it takes that responsibility away from me to a degree. You know, we look out for each other, which is great. I'm living I've met a nice young lady from Serbia who is a fantastic violinist and just a genuinely a beautiful human being, which I would have never have been able to be with somebody like that before, because of the way that I decided to live my life. I go to church regularly on Sundays. I like to give a little bit back. I think it's the least I can do for being saved, as I have been, and that's just to help out with homeless breakfasts or come and do a homeless lunch on a Sunday, or just help people move or whatever crops up, really. But it's nice, and it's its own reward to be a giving person. So life's really good. Yeah, I mean, I've got I've done a few courses. I've got a Bible study home group I go to now, and the more you immerse yourself in the teachings of the Bible, the more rewarding it is. So it's been a huge change for me. But life's very positive. Yeah, can't say any more.
You've got a little boy.
A little boy, Josh. Yeah, I mean, I always saw Josh, but he sees how much more relaxed I am now. So he's more relaxed. I have him all weekend now, as opposed to just a day. So trying to cram everything into a day, which is lovely. He gets along with my girlfriend's got a young child herself. They both get along, which is amazing, because it doesn't work otherwise. And it's actually easier to look after two than it is one, funny enough. So, yeah, which is a bit of a surprise to me. But mum and dad did. I'm not so sure that's me. But I'm happy. Yeah, life's really good at the moment. It's very positive.
So. What do you do?
I'm a bricklayer by trade. General building works or landscaping works. Which is good. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, I'm sure being a bricklayer, you're not likely to be out of business or out of work, especially in Chichester, with the way that Chichester is expanding at an exponential rate at the moment. So let's go back a little bit. Can I ask you a little bit about your upbringing? What was life like as a child? Sort of taking up to when the period when you sort of left school, and when we'll take up to that point, and then I'll come back with another question.
It's funny, because I had a really good childhood, very loving parents, and you took that for granted as when you were younger. But they were generally good, very good to us, and raised us to the best of their abilities. So there's no reason in that respect for me to have chose a path that I did. The only thing I can think of is that I found school very easy. I took that for granted as well. I was very lucky in that respect. But having learnt it quite quickly, you then got bored, and that's what led to me, this path towards, of sort of transgressing more and more as time wore on. But by the time I left school, I was truanting regularly. I was probably a bit of a bully, if I'm honest with you, you know, but that was a persona I'd built around myself, which you had to back up. And by then I was taking numerous drugs and drinking and smoking and stealing and lying and all the other things I decided were the way I wanted to live my life for all the wrong reasons, really. But
okay. So your life started to take a little bit of a change of direction. You alluded to the fact that you started to take some drugs and you were truanting a lot, you were stealing, and you said the word transgression there, which is an interesting word, which maybe you want to explain. You know, what does that mean to you? And then and let's take it from there. And then what sort of happened? Where did your life go to from there? Where did you end up finding yourself?
It's funny, although I was doing all those things, and you can say I was young and naive at the time, that there is an element of that which is true, but you still know when you're doing wrong, and it starts to build up a guilt inside you, and you don't feel, you lose your self-worth, you're lying all the time, and this is damaging to you as it is to the people around you, which is quite, you know, it's just very true. But it spirals. You try and drag yourself out of that situation, and you can sort of feel like it's like putting a bandage over an axe wound. It doesn't, you know, it's not sustainable. It's not going to last. But you're trying your best from whatever means are necessary, and eventually it just spirals out of control as the addictions increase. I was greedy, in all honesty. You know, that's I couldn't do things in small measure. I had to do lots of it all the time, and every time you got back on your feet and went round the circle again, you'd fall further each time, and you're hurting more people and hurting yourself more. So it's quite a vicious cycle to become involved in. But when I say transgressions, it's, yeah, I was dead in those transgressions. As I continued those behaviours, I had no hope of coming to the Lord while doing those things, really. So.
So you mentioned transgressions, and I'd like you to explain what that actually means to you. And also, you said you had no hope of coming to the Lord. But I'm wondering, at that point, was it even on your radar? Was religion, any form of religion, even on your radar? What are the sort of things that occupied your day? What are the sort of things that occupied your mind from getting up in the morning to going to bed at night? And where did you find yourself because of that?
Basically, I mean, I've always worked all of my life, but when you're an addict, you're constantly worried about when you're going to get. You could have an ounce of your selected drug of choice, and it would never be enough. You'd always worried about where you're going to get the next bit of money from to get the next bit, or whether you can get hold of it, when you can get it. So you have to lie to everyone around you in order to make that happen and hide the fact that you're doing it. So when I say, this went on for 20 years, is a sustained period of time, and I hurt a lot of people, like, you know, parents, friends, family, until I'd pretty much alienated all of them. But not once in that 20-year period did I consider Christianity as an option to help me. And if I could discover why that was, I think I could help a lot of other people. But God knows when you're ready to do something, and I had to fall as far as, you know, as I did in order to be in that position where I was really actively seeking any sort of help that I could find at that point.
Okay, so you found yourself addicted to drugs. You found yourself that started to alienate you from the people around you, and then you keep making reference to the Lord, to people explaining faith to you. How did that happen? How do people actually start to have that conversation with you? Because that's really interesting to find out how that actually came about.
Well, it took me losing my home for the second time. I went to a hostel first. I got rehoused, and then the spiral started again. I ruined that. Went back through the hostel, got kicked out of there again, and I was basically living in a field with absolutely no possessions, no friends or family willing to speak to you, and a very little prospects for the future. And in all honesty, it was a free breakfast that drew me to St. Pancras in the first instance. But it's a very stressful thing being homeless, or you could. All of your actions create a very stressful environment that is your life, and it's the only place, in all honesty, that I felt relaxed. It was quite a unique feeling at the time, you know. So, yeah, which is good.
So you went along to St. Pancras. No doubt at St. Pancras you met a guy called Tom, Because, I mean, for Tom spoke here a few months earlier, and he sort of shares his ministry and his life. And I know he has a real heart for people that are homeless and in the city of Chichester, and he wants to really reach out with them. So let's talk about that meeting with Tom and then with Mark the Vicar at St Pancras. And what happened from there? I mean, where did that go? Where did that lead?
It happened very quickly. It was funny because Tom actually laughed at this. I said it was the first sort of intelligent conversation I'd had for a long time, and Mark laughed at this as well. And this is with Tom, but we just started chatting really, and I mean, I was very, it's very, you know, you've got a lot of misconceptions or preconceptions about Christianity before you actually take any time to learn about it, and we were just chatting, and I kept raising points, and he kept answering them with, and that's the thing, you can't argue the Bible because it is the truth, you feel the truth of it. And he invited me to the gathering, basically. This was a Monday, invited me to the gathering, and I was like, well, I don't know, this seems a bit, you don't get, there's always something.
There's probably a lot of people here, especially the ladies, have no idea what the gathering is because it's a men's festival.
It's called it's Christian Vision for Men. It's 2,000 people in a field in Swindon worshipping the Lord for 3 days. And there's some incredible stories there. It puts your own problems into perspective, but it's a testament to the power of the Lord. He saves people, and that's the that event. It truly is happening in reality. So, yeah. But he invited me on the Monday, and I was wary because you don't get anything for nothing in the world that I'd surrounded myself in. But I finally decided to go because it was 3 days in a tent, and that was better than sleeping in a field with a sleeping bag. So that's what decided me, in all honesty. But it was with a tent is actually a luxury when you've only got the sleeping bag, I can assure you. So I went there and I engaged with Mark and John, the guy that from St Pancras that I work with now, and just met some genuinely nice people who didn't want to take from you. You know, they didn't want anything in return, and they just genuinely wanted to help you. And I went to the various different sermons, went to some worship, and a lot of it, I'll be honest, freaked me out to start with. It was not something I was comfortable with, I'd ever seen or experienced or been part of before, but it sparked a genuine feeling of hope. Because I saw there was not only potential to help me, but it was a sustainable help, which I'd never had before. So that was quite special, yeah.
Brilliant. So while you're at the gathering, you had this experience of perhaps a different form of religion that you perhaps ever experienced before and experienced at all. I mean, it is a bit unique, the gathering. And so... At what point did the light come on? You know, did you have that little light bulb moment? Do you know what? There's something in this. I think this is worth pursuing. And then what does it mean to you? And then we've sort of seen a little bit of your life, how it's changed. But, you know, that gathering experience wasn't too long ago, was it? It was only, yeah. So let's talk about that. What's God done for you now?
Well, basically, when I was up at the gathering, I'd... because you have to cover yourself as an addict, I've taken a considerable lump of drugs with me to make sure I'd last the weekend. So when I was up there, I felt that spark of hope, and I was convinced that this was the right thing to do, but I didn't want to go and kneel at the cross and base this one chance at a sustained change in my life on a lie. So I didn't go down, which was, I think, initially put Mark and Tom off to a degree, and perhaps it delayed my salvation to a degree, but I couldn't destroy something so precious before it even begun. It just felt wrong to do it, and that was God speaking directly to me then, which was amazing. I came back to Chichester and just engaged with the church for 5 or 6 weeks. They helped me get a deposit. Mark let me stay at his house and do a detox. It was incredible. He's a lovely, a really genuinely lovely man, and nothing like a vicar or a preacher that I expected in any way, shape or form, I'll be honest. But he is genuinely, he's had a lot of experience of life, and you can talk to him about anything, and he's not judgmental, and that was quite refreshing. But to have somebody he doesn't know in his own home, and that situation, I thought was incredible. And they helped me get a place to deposit. John helped me find work, and it's just moved from there. It's the more I engage. I did the Alpha course as well. That was with Revelations and Dan from Revelations, who was really good, actually, a really nice guy as well. And Tom helped me sort of push me towards that. But that's essential as a new Christian because there's so much information. You can't process all of it. You need some structure. So that was very helpful. And the more I engage in it, like I say, the more rewarding it is. And I've done a couple of Bible study courses. I have a home group now. We do plans at home. I've got apps on my phone. It's worth engaging because it answers questions you haven't even asked. It's very, and you can't argue the truth of the Bible. I'd be hard pressed to see anybody who's capable of that. So,
cool. Thank you. It's just such a great story, isn't it? I mean, I love the fact that what we've got now is, I mean, I met you when Tom came to speak for the first time. And, I come with certain preconceptions, being someone who spent many years in the police service, about what people that are addicted to sort of class A drugs look like, how they behave. And when you shared your story with me, I was just amazed because you look the epitome of health, everything that I don't expect someone who had those problems to look like. I'd say it's the testimony of how God has taken you from this place and got you to where you are now. And that is such a great story. And it's what I mean, you were at the gathering this year as well, weren't you? And there was a guy at the gathering who had just spent his life in crime and who'd spent his life at the other end of, being chased by the police constantly in his life. And he'd come to faith and what he wanted was this restoration with the people that he just loathed in life, which was the police. And so there was this really great sort of image, wasn't there, at the gathering this year. It's the guy coming up the front who'd spent his life and had had this amazing transformation. And then all the Christian Police Association that were there en masse, just coming around him. It looked like they were bundling him, but actually they're gathering around and just, hugging him and praying for him, laying their hands on him. It was such a great picture of unity and of restoration. These people that, they're very much the cat and mouse of society just being completely restored. And I love the fact that, someone from my background and someone from your background, and they're, we would normally be hunting each other. Well, I'd be hunting people like you. You'd be avoiding people like me. we can stand up here, and through the power of God, we are brothers, and that's just delightful. And it's such a great privilege to be able to have you here with us this morning, Gary, to hear your story. So thank you for coming. Thank you for being brave and sharing with us this morning. There's such a powerful testimony of God's transformation in your life. Can we give Gary a round of applause?